Greetings, friends. Welcome back to the broadcast. I'm Sean. Website can be found at scriptureandprophecy.com. That's where you go to find the archives. That's where you go to support this mission of truth. Well, we started a little series last week studying the rise of Nimrod and the Tower of Babel out of the ancient historical text known as the Book of Jasher. And if you didn't listen to episode one, you need to listen to that first, obviously for the context of what's happening, and I go into a little conversation about what the Book of Jasher is, so please refer to the first episode. Last week's study kind of ended with this discussion about Terah, which is Abram's father, and then it picks up in today's reading from there, and we have this prophecy that comes about this child Abram, and it's a prophecy that sends Nimrod into a psychotic break, basically, because he's fearful of what this could mean for his future. And that's really what kind of happens in our story today. It's 36 verses. And then if I remember correctly, we're going to read chapter 8 today. And if I remember correctly, chapter 9, which we'll read next week, talks about the rise and fall of the actual Tower of Babel. And then moving forward from there, the book of Jasher would be talking about Abraham and what happens with him and Sarah and all of that. So if you guys want this to continue on past next week, where we talk about the Tower of Babel, let me know in the comment section that you want more of this, and maybe we can make that happen. But for today, let's check out our story for today, which deals with Terah, the birth of Abram, and this prophecy and Nimrod's response, which is not for the faint of heart, today's story. So buckle up. All right. I'm going to start by reading the last couple of verses from chapter 7 last week, because that kind of just bleeds into our story today. Let's begin. And Terah, the son of Nahor, prince of Nimrod's host, was in those days very great in the sight of the king and his subjects. And the king and princes loved him, and they elevated him very high. And Terah took a wife, and her name was Amithilo, the daughter of Cornebo. And the wife of Terah conceived and bare him a son in those days. Terah was 70 years old when he begat him, and Terah called the name of his son that was born to him Abram, because the king had raised him in those days and dignified him above all his princes that were with him. Chapter 8, verse 1. And it was in the night that Abram was born, that all the servants of Terah and all the wise men of Nimrod and his conjurers came and ate and drank in the house of Terah, and they rejoiced with him on that night. So please note, so Abram's born, Terah throws a party. Remember, he's like the second highest person in this, really the first kingdom, with the first king Nimrod. And so all the wise men and people came to celebrate with Terah, including the conjurers, which reminds me of Egypt, right? Egypt and the magicians. This idea of like magic and sorcery and all, it goes all the way back. It's been going on forever. And it's a real thing that existed. And the Bible talks about it multiple times. And so here we have the conjurers and the wise men. So they came to celebrate with Terah about his son's birth. Verse 2. When all the wise men and the conjurers went out from the house of Terah, they lifted up their eyes towards heaven that night to look at the stars. And they saw, and behold, one very large star came from the east and ran in the heavens and swallowed up the four stars from the four sides of the heavens. And all the wise men of the king and his conjurers were astonished at the sight. And the sages understood this matter, and they knew its import. And they said to each other, "This only betokens that the child that has been born to Terra this night, who will grow up and be faithful and multiply and possess all the earth, he and his children forever, and his seed will slay great kings and inherit their lands." And the wise men and the conjurers went home that night. And in the morning all these wise men and conjurers rose up early and assembled in an appointed house. And they spoke and they said to each other, "Behold, this sight that we saw last night is hidden from the king. It has not been made known to him. And should this thing get known to the king in later days, he will slay us. Why have you concealed this matter from me? And then we shall all suffer death. Therefore, now let us go and tell the king the sight which we saw and the interpretation thereof. And we shall then remain clear." So all these wise men, conjurers, they gather the next morning. First of all, they come to the conclusion that this is a sign about the child that they were just celebrating. And that him and his seed are going to grow up and they're going to multiply and they're going to be fruitful and they're going to possess the whole earth and they're going to slay kings. And they wake up the next morning, they assemble and they're like, "We better tell the king, because if he finds out that we knew about this later, we're going to be the ones getting slain." Verse 8. "And they did so, and they all went to the king and bowed down to him to the ground. And they said, 'May the king live, may the king live. We heard that a son was born to Terah, the son of Nahor, the prince of thy host. And we, yesternight, came to his house, and we ate and drank and rejoiced with him that night. And when thy servants went out from the house of Terah to go to our respective homes to abide there for the night, we lifted up our eyes to heaven, and we saw a great star coming from the east. And the same star ran with great speed and swallowed up four great stars from the four sides of heaven. And thy servants were astonished at the sight which we saw and were greatly terrified. We made our judgment upon the sight and knew by our wisdom the proper interpretation thereof, that this thing applies to the child that is born to Terah, who will grow up and multiply greatly and become powerful and kill all the kings of the earth, and inherit all their lands, he and his seed forever. And now, our Lord and King, behold, we have truly acquainted thee with what we have seen concerning this child. If it seemeth good to the king to give his father value for this child, we will slay him before he shall grow up, and increase in the land, and his evil increase against us, that we and our children perish not through his evil.' And the king heard their words, and they seemed good in his sight. And he sent and he called for Terah, and Terah came before the king. And the king said to Terah, 'I have been told that a son was yesternight born to thee, and after this manner was observed in the heavens at his birth. And now, therefore, give me the child, that we may slay him before his evil springs up against us. And I will give thee for his value thy house full of silver and gold.'" All right, so the wise men, and they tell the king, and they advise the king to buy the child from Terah and slay it so it doesn't grow up to fulfill its destiny, which they saw in the heavens. There's so many things going on. Number one, human beings have always thought that they could just alter the plans of God, right? Like, they saw the signs in the skies, they properly interpreted it, and they thought to themselves, we can just intervene, change divine order through our actions. They tell the king, and he's just so casual about, "Hey, heard about your baby. I'll give you all this gold and silver. Give me the kid so I can kill it." Like, it just shows the human condition. And what we're going to see here in a minute, well, let me just get to that. because there's a little back and forth that takes place between Terra and Nimrod. And you'll see the connection that I'm trying to make here in just a second. Let's continue on. And Terra answered the king and said to him, "My lord and king, I have heard thy words, and thy servant shall do all that his king desireth. But my lord and king, I will tell thee what happened to me yesternight, that I might see what advice the king will give his servant. And then I will answer the king upon what he has just spoken." And the king said, "Speak." And Terah said to the king, "Ayan, son of Morad, came to me yesternight, saying, 'Give unto me the great and beautiful horse that the king gave thee, and I will give thee silver and gold and straw and provender for its value.' And I said to him, 'Wait till I see the king concerning thy words. And behold, whatever the king saith, that will I do. And now, my lord king, behold, I have made this thing known to thee, and the advice which my king shall give to his servant, that will I follow.' And the king heard the words of Terah, and his anger was kindled, and he considered him in light of a fool." And the king... So please, no. I'm sorry to interrupt. So Terah hears the demands of the king, and so he comes back to the king with a parable, basically. And apparently the king had given him this magnificent, beautiful horse. And Terah's like, "Hey, somebody just offered me a bunch of money and provisions for the horse. What should I do?" And the king looks at Terah as though Terah is a fool for daring to consider to trade this magnificent, valuable horse in exchange for money or goods, and just how stupid that is. Even though the king just did that same thing in regards to an actual human being and an actual child. And this is something about the human condition that I have grown to notice in our modern times. It seems like because of the sinful, disgusting, wicked hearts of human beings, that we value things and animals more than other human life, more than people who are made in the image of God. If somebody hurts a dog, you'll see way more uproar, way more rage and anger from society than when they hear about a child being abused. There's a very casual attitude about the thousands upon thousands of babies who are executed in the womb every day in the United States, as an example. There was no uproar when it was discovered and made public that these institutions were chopping babies up in pieces inside the mother's womb and pulling them out. Or sometimes pulling them out and they were alive and they're cutting their heads off and they're selling organs and parts and blood and all these things. That all came out a few years ago. Is anybody talking about that today? They talked about it for like 5 minutes. Nobody cared. But if that same scenario was happening with like puppies, like puppy mills, people lose their mind. I'm not saying those things aren't bad too. I'm just saying the way the human heart is today, and just like what Nimrod is doing here, he doesn't value the baby. What is it? It's just a baby. But that magnificent horse, how dare you, right? Anyway, I'm ranting. And the king heard the words of Terah, and his anger was kindled, and he considered him in the light of a fool. And the king answered Terah, and he said to him, "Art thou so silly, ignorant, or deficient of understanding to do this thing, to give thy beautiful horse for silver and gold, or even straw and provender? Art thou so short of silver and gold that thou should do this thing? Because thou cannot obtain straw and provender to feed thy horse? And what is silver and gold to thee, or straw and provender, that thou shouldest give away that fine horse which I gave thee, like which there is none to be had in the whole earth?" And the king left off speaking, and Terah answered the king, saying, "Like unto this has this king spoken to his servant. I beseech thee, my lord and king, what is this which thou didst say unto me, saying, 'Give me thy son, that we may slay him, and I will give thee silver and gold for his value.' What shall I do with silver and gold after the death of my son? Who shall inherit me? Surely then at my death the silver and gold will return to my king who gave it." When the king heard the words of Terah and the parable which he brought concerning the king, It grieved him greatly, and he was vexed at this thing, and his anger burned within him. And Terah saw the anger of the king was kindled against him, and he answered the king, saying, "All that I have is the king's power, in the king's power. Whatever the king desires to do to his servant, let him do. Yea, even my son, he is in the king's power, without value in exchange, he and his two brothers that are older than he." And the king said to Terah, "No, but I will purchase thy younger son for a price." And Terah answered the king, saying, "I beseech thee, my lord and king, to let thy servant speak a word before thee, and let the king hear the word of his servant." And Terah said, "Let my king give me 3 days' time till I consider this matter within myself, and consult with my family concerning the words of my king." And he pressed the king greatly to agree to this. And the king hearkened to Terah, and he did so, and he gave him 3 days' time. Terah went out from the king's presence, and he came to his family and spoke to them all the words of the king, and the people were greatly afraid. And it was in the third day that the king sent to Terah, saying, "Send me thy son for a price, as I spoke unto thee. And shouldest thou not do this, I will send and slay all that thou hast in thy house, so that thou shalt not even have a dog remaining." So please note, I want you to remember that sometimes what we're reading is historical. And this is true for your Bible canon. And there's things in the Bible that are terrible that happened to people. Awful. Awful decisions that are made. And people are like shocked that that's in a Bible. And I'm like, well, history of human existence is messy and ugly. That's number one. Number two, I want you to understand the predicament that Terah is now in. The 3 days are over that he asked for as a time to discuss this situation with his family. And the king has already sent word to him first thing saying, "Bring me the kid or I'm going to send military into your place and everybody's going to die. Your wife, your other children, your servants, your animals, you won't even have a dog left." That's his circumstance and he has to make a decision right now. An impossible, terrible decision. So before we judge what he does next, which is awful, understand the circumstances and the pressure that he's up against. We're almost done, but it does end kind of brutally. And Terah hastened, as the thing was urgent from the king. And he took a child from one of his servants, which his handmaid had borne to him that day. And Terah brought the child to the king and received value for him. And the Lord was with Terah in this matter, that Nimrod might not cause Abram's death. And the king took the child from Terah, and with all his might he dashed his head to the ground, for he thought it had been Abram. And this was concealed from him that day, and it was forgotten by the king. And it was the will of providence not to suffer Abram's death. And Terah took Abram his son secretly together with his mother and nurse, and he concealed them in a cave, and he brought them their provisions monthly. And the Lord was with Abram in the cave, and he grew up, and Abram was in the cave 10 years. And the king and his princes and soothsayers and sages thought that the king had killed Abram. And that is how this chapter brutally ends. So Terah had to make an impossible decision. And he takes this child that was born that day to one of his servants. And that poor child received the death that Nimrod was trying to give to Abram. And then Abram is hidden in a cave with his mother and his nurse. And that is how this story ends. My friends, sometimes it's ugly. And there's some stories that are shocking in the Bible that many Christians don't even have any clue about because they don't know the Old Testament. They don't know history. But there's some pretty crazy things that have happened. And the Bible doesn't shy away from telling us these awful things because it's a reminder of the human condition and the human heart and how the heart is desperately wicked. And how people putting desperate situations will do desperate things. And, you know, there's two desperations here. Nimrod's desperate to preserve his kingdom. You know, when you have all this money, wealth, and power, now you have so much to lose that you're willing to do all these awful things. This is what we see in the world today. The other desperation was Tara had a choice. Either provide a child or everyone you know and everyone in your house is dead. Impossible decisions to make. But anyway, next week, the story will kind of transition into more about Abram. And I think you're going to find it very interesting. And then I believe the Tower of Babel comes up next week. But if I turn out to be wrong, I apologize in advance. But I'm pretty sure next week is the Tower of Babel situation. And then so let me know in the comments if you guys want this to continue on Fridays for the next foreseeable few weeks or whatever. Thank you for praying for me. I need your prayers desperately. Honestly, I do. Please continue to pray for me and the podcast and direction and wisdom. If there's anything I need in the world right now, that's what it is. Thank you for listening, my friends. Peace and grace be with all of you. And until next time, God bless.